I want to thank you once again this morning as we have gathered, Lord God, and we look up to you. As David of old said, I look to the mountain from whence cometh my help. Father God, we know it is from you and by your grace that, Lord God, we can benefit from this gathering we have this morning. Amen. We want to commit this service into your hands, Father. May you bless the reading of your word. May you bless the preaching thereof. Father God, the hearing, the accepting, and the revelation, Father God, which you bestowed upon us, Father. We commit this day, even for your honor and glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank the Lord once again to be here in our midst. And I hope by the grace of the Lord, tomorrow, I'll be starting my journey back home. And I want to thank the Lord for the time He has kept me in this part of Asia. As you all know, I came through Fiji, and we had a wonderful time there. For those who are not here, the last Sunday I was here, the brethren in Fiji, they are sending their greetings. And then I came through here and went to Cambodia, where we had good times. With Brother Israel, whom I very much appreciate what he is doing and the commitment he has given to the work of God in the land of Cambodia, which is a very difficult place to live in. You know, as I said, I came through Fiji. The Fijian people are very welcoming. You cannot just pass by without him saying hello. So they are very welcoming people. And it's very different from now Cambodia. It's a very conserved community. And they are all bound in this Hinduism. But by the grace of God, Brother Israel is making some inroads, and I had the privilege of going out into some of the provinces where we had meetings with the leaders of small churches which are there. There are quite a number of some independent churches, and they are willing to hear the word, and by the grace of God, some are coming to the light of this present truth, like the one who is interpreting or translating for Brother Israel. He is also translating that chart, eternity, from eternity to eternity. And through, you know, the proofreading he was doing, he came to see the depth of the revelation of God, how the thing just opened up to him. He was anticipating to go for a PhD in theology. Then when he saw that, he said, there's no need. I cannot pursue this because I've seen this, which is the truth. So we thank God when you see such things happening, even to the saving of the souls of those whom God predestinated. Now, they in Cambodia, Brother Israel, his wife, they are all sending their greetings. They are doing fine. They are still pressing on. They are still holding on to this truth, that not only they, but all those who hear them may come to the knowledge of salvation. So for now, the Lord has allowed us to meet maybe this time around for the last time. I'll be going back home tomorrow. So I may take your greetings.
Amen.
So if you so wish.
Amen.
Okay.
Of course.
Right, so I wish you all the best, that the Lord may continue giving you that which is needful. I just was enjoying when he was showing forth, you know, those words of wisdom, how to look at something that is correct and that is true, but it is not truth. how we can be enlightened to the reality of God, not just through a statement or through something that happened, which may have happened, but not being really the expression of God's mind and purpose in whatever God would like to accomplish. So this morning I just want to share with you a little thought. I think the last time I was here we shared on those seven virtues, as Brother Branham called them, from faith to love. He says we must grow into this, and we just took one from there, which was brotherly kindness, what it means to us. So maybe on the same lines, I just want to share with you another little thought, which we may read from the first book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last two verses must be 12 and 13. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abide in faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Now, as we look at this scripture, Paul here is trying to show, or is showing us through the Spirit, what really matters, or what really makes us, what we should really be. As the brother was saying, that the Pope of Rome can come and say, there's only one God. Yes, that is true in the sense of truth, but he's not speaking the truth. Because where it is coming from, is, you know, it's just like Paul, when that spirit medium said, they are preaching to us the true gospel of salvation. Paul could not accommodate that, because though the words, as the brother was saying, it was true they were preaching salvation, but the source and the purpose and the objective of the spirit behind the one who was speaking, he has a lot to tell. So here Paul is telling us of how we can do wonderful things in the book of Corinthians, how we can speak in tongues, how we can even move mountains, how we can prophesy, how we can do this and do that, which is good. But he says, all these things, they come to naught, they are nothing, if I don't have love. So there is a reason, or there is a purpose behind what God makes us to go through, or what He makes us to do. As much as we can do it, but there is a purpose and there's a reason why God makes us go through what we go through, makes us to hear what we hear, makes us to see what we see, makes us to feel what we feel. There is something that is greater than just the happening of things in our life. So here, Paul says, they are, now we see darkly. Now we don't see things clearly. Now we don't see things in their 100% perspective. The reality of God what God really intended for us. At the moment, we cannot just see it clearly. We don't have the full understanding. We don't have the full comprehension of that what God really desires in our life. No one can stand up here and say, now I know what God wants me to do from A to Z. Now I know what my life means to me from A to Z. It cannot be. We just experience things as they come. We know things as they are unfolded. We cross the bridge as we reach the river. So, we see things darkly. It's not yet in the light. But the good thing is, the Bible here says, but then we shall know. Then we shall see face to face. Then we shall understand. Like the poet said, we'll understand it better by and by.
Amen.
But now, since we have not come into this fullness, Paul says, there is something that is now with us. We are not just in a vacuum because we don't know about tomorrow. We are not in a vacuum because we don't know what will be in 2 days to come or 3 years to come. It's not just that we are. Like Paul says, I'm one who is fighting. And I'm not just like I'm just beating the air. I have an objective. I know. I'm aiming for something. And I know I've committed my life to Him and He will preserve it until that day. And we are running a race. Amen. Now, since now we are going to know it in full, God has given us, as I said, not to live in a vacuum. There's something that is abiding in us. There's something that is the reality to us. There's something that we have got a hold, and it's not just a supposition or maybe just a myth. It's a reality. Because we are going to see, we are being taken to apprehend, we are being taken to the reality of God. Though we see darkly, but we cannot go there with something that is not real. Like in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word had life. And the life was the light of man. And then God sent a man called John. He was not the light, but he came to witness to the light. But if you go to chapter 5 of the same John, Jesus says, you were happy, you were glad when you walked in the light of John. So John was a witness to the light. But he was not darkness himself. He was a light, though he was not the light. So it took a light to show people the light. Amen. So, since now we are going to that which is real, God has given us what we can abide by. And Paul says, what abides in us now is faith, hope, and love. It is these three. But the greatest of these is love. And we all know that God is love. And here, that which is the greatest is mentioned last. He says we have faith, we have hope, and we have love, which is none other than God Himself. Well, I was just thinking, it's just, you know, the how God places what we should have. God doesn't need to have hope. God doesn't need to have faith, but God is love. But him being the greatest, he puts himself last. But now here we are. We have been equipped now. God is giving to us. It's like if we can go back to the book of Ephesians. Is it chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Now here it says, even before the world began, before the foundation of the world, we were chosen and we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And all this God did that we should be holy and without blame in him. And all that was done in love. Before there was anything, before there was sin, before there was darkness, before there was anything that is contrary to our lives or to God, God did this in his love. Before there was hatred, God chose us in love. Before there was enmity, God chose us in love. That's why Paul says, now the greatest of these is love. It's that which was from the beginning. Now, God who ordained and called us and blessed us in Christ Jesus, he did all that in his being love. That means our goal, Paul says, now we are seeing darkly, but then we shall see the real thing. So now, when we look now, maybe take a glimpse at the real thing. The real thing, of course, is God. And the real thing now is that love which is in God. Amen. That's why Paul says, I can do this and I can do that, but without love, it's nothing. Because it's not going, it's not pointing, it's not leading, it's not even emanating from that which is in the beginning, which is love. So it cannot be of any good use. But God has got this three-cord rope to bring us in. That is his love, faith, and hope. Amen. So we have seen that the greatest being love, it was before there was anything in himself. He ordained us to be children of God. That was the mind of God. That was the purpose of God. That was the fullness of God. When God, maybe when we come to the extreme of God, when we come to the, we can pull God, you know, like to the extreme. When we come to that extreme, it is you in him eternally. Can you see? Anything else was done and God did it, but you hold that place in God, which is the absolute of him being God. When you stand before him in the fullness, redeemed, and worshiping and praising him eternally, then God is God. Not because he created mountains, not because he created the ocean, but when you stand before him in that glory, when that which was in the beginning can come back to him, and then he says, this is what was in him, eternally in him, and eternally now fulfilled and manifested before him, then he is God. So, God, by his grace, he called us. And Paul says, the greatest is love. But remember, it's a three-cord rope that God is bringing us in. But actually, who are we? This is what God is. He is love and He ordained us. But we are not, actually, at the moment, we are not there in the beginning. We are not there in eternity in the mind of God. We are in this dispensation. Though eternally we are with Him and in Him, but we are in this dispensation. We are in this environment. We are in this time. So who are we in this time? So that we can know. As we see darkly, as we see things not in their full vision, who are we? Let's just go to the second book of Ephesians, where Paul says something here. In chapter 2, we read verse 12, I think. Okay, maybe we can start from verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk therein. Wherefore remember that He, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Let's just rush to Thessalonians. That is First Book Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll just read verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Amen. Now, Paul says God loved us, and now He has given us faith, and we have hope. But as I said, we want to see and want to know who we are now. Before we were called, before we came into this light, Paul says we are the workmanship of God. We were by God called and created in Christ that we may walk in the good works that were already foreordained for us. Amen. Now that is now set in God, that we should walk in these ways, in do these works. That's what God thought of us in the beginning when He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Now, He brings us here, and we are now His workmanship, created now in Christ. Amen. Foreordained in Christ, blessed in Christ, having our names written in the book of the Lamb, that is Christ. Now, today, here, we are now created. And Paul says, when we are in Christ, we are new creation. So that means we have been created now to do what God purposed us to do. Amen. But before we were created in Christ, Paul says we were alienated. We were outside Christ. We were outside God. We were Gentiles. We had no part in the commonwealth of Israel. We had no part in the promises that God gave. So, because we did not have any promise, we did not have any part, Paul says now, we were without God, without hope. And Paul wants to put it clear for us that concerning the dead, we should not just be grieved. We should not be like those without hope. That means without hope, when somebody dies, like Paul puts it here, when somebody dies, that is the end of him. Maybe it's my dad. That's the end of him. I'll never see him again. I'll never communicate with him again. That's all. And thinking how he raised me, how he loved me, how he did all those good things for me, then I'll cry myself even to death. Because I don't have hope. But is that the truth? Is that the reality? So without hope, you can have a false fear. Without hope, you can have a false sorrow. Without hope, you can be overtaken by superstition. Without hope, anything can get a hold of you. And that's what we were before we came to Christ. We were moved by circumstances. We were moved by situations. We were only reacting to whatever fate puts to us. Whatever comes our way. That's why we did what we did. Some of us, Paul says, we were drunkards, idolaters, adulterers, fornicators. Why were we such? Because that's what was put before us. And we had no hope. So we indulged in those things. But now, we are no longer that. We are now new creations in Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, Paul says, there are three things that abide with us now that we have been called. And one of those, I just want to maybe talk on, is hope. What it does to us. Amen. You know, when Joshua crossed the river, he, you know, in his final address to the people, he said, you know that our fathers, even Abraham and Terah, they were beyond the river and they were worshipping other gods. So Abraham was there beyond the river, worshipping other gods. Why was he worshipping those gods? It was influenced by his fears. It was influenced by his superstitions. It was influenced because he had no hope in anything. But let's look at this Abraham now when God called him. He's somebody far different from the original Abraham. Because something has happened to him. And that's what we want to look at. That hope. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when the people of Israel were taken out of bondage, God told them, I have come down and I'm sending Moses to bring the people out and I'll put them in that land of milk and honey. You know, that's the first thing that God did. Even with Abraham, he called him. He says, come out from that land, from your people, from your city, and I will bless you. And I will give you a seed. God will never call you to hopelessness. God will never call you into darkness. God will never call you into where you'll be just groping and just be led by circumstances. Just be motivated by whatever is happening. When good is happening, you are motivated. When bad comes, you are discouraged. God has never called us to that. He has called us to something that is real. Something that is intact. That's why Paul says, though we don't see things clearly, it doesn't mean that, you know, we just have to grow up like that. Though we don't see things in their final perspective, but we are not a people who are just grouping in darkness. Even Job of old, he did not understand why he was going through what he was going through. But he said, although I'm going through this, there's one thing I know. God gave and God took away. His name be praised.
Amen.
Amen. That's what hope does. But without hope, you can never get anywhere. Even blessings can come on you. There will be your destruction.
Right.
Problems can come. There will be your destruction. Good can come. There will be your destruction. That's how when Jesus came, he asked those people, what bad have I done? I've raised your dead. I have healed your sick. Mm-hmm. So what is it that you want to accuse us? You're accusing me of. I know, when you did this, you did good. When you did that, you did good. But now you are calling yourself the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Can you see? Mm-hmm. There's not even something concrete to accuse him. Amen.
Amen.
But now let's look at this. When God calls us, he's not calling us, you know, just, you know, to get it as we go. He's calling us to something, to an objective. He's calling us to something that is real. And when we lose sight of that real thing, then we are done. Amen.
Amen.
In Hebrews, let's just see how this people of Israel did. In Hebrews chapter 4, let me just read maybe Hebrews chapter 4, I'll read verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now these people, they heard the word of their redemption, their being brought out of bondage, they heard it. Amen. You know, just as the brother was saying, you know, he was almost preaching my sermon. Things can be said right. Things can be said correctly. But that's not all that we need. Just to hear something which is correct and which is real. There's something that is more than just accepting it like that. So the word that they heard, what message, what gospel did they hear? The gospel of their redemption. The gospel of their being taken out of bondage into the glorious land. They heard that gospel. But it did not profit them. Because there was no faith. And when we go to the book of Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
Amen. And the evidence of things not seen. So that's what God has given us now. That hope. Amen.
Amen.
It is the result of our faith in what we have heard. They heard the gospel, but it was not with faith. Amen. Now, what is this gospel that God has given us? What is this gospel that we have heard, which they also heard? It is the gospel of our redemption. But as it was with Israel, it was not today they hear the gospel, today they are taken out of Egypt, today they get into the promised land.
No.
It was not that way. But God had given them the gospel. He had given them something that they had to believe in. And always God was propping their faith so that they can really get it. Because the first day Moses went to declare this gospel, their problems now were even more. Until, at last, yes, they were taken out. Then they said, oh, at least now. But soon after coming out of Egypt, they hit the Red Sea. God was just probing at their faith. That's what God wanted in them. But these people, they had obeyed. They had left Egypt. And they were there walking towards the promised land. But God is not just satisfied because you are walking the right way. God is not through with you just because you have accepted the word. God is not through with you just because you have come to church. He was probing at their faith. Amen.
Amen.
And at the end, he says, for 40 years, I humbled you. Made you hungry. Made you thirsty. But I gave you manna.
Amen.
Amen. You drank from the rock.
Amen.
You see? So, this is God now dealing with us. Now, but All that God did, it not profit them because they had no faith.
Right.
And because they had no faith, they all perished in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, when you look at how they perished, then you know the effects of lack of faith in one's belief in the gospel that he has heard. As much as we have heard the gospel, there must be faith. If there's no faith, even if you hear the truth 24/7, it will never benefit you if you don't have the faith. Because sometimes you wonder, you know, if I look at myself as a poor man, you know, all I think is, you know, when somebody is rich, he's happy, he's okay. But when I look at the rich and see what they indulge themselves in, then I start to wonder again. But as for me, if you give me riches, I'll think I'm okay.
Right.
Because I'm poor. You see? But is that really what we need? You can see that that's not what we need. That's not what we should have. You see? So, they heard the gospel, but they all perished, though they heard the gospel. It needed something more than just hearing the truth. And what we need this morning is not just hearing the truth, but it is that truth mixed with faith. Then it will bring out something again. Because actually, God, he just wants to see us grow into things. He did not take people of Israel out of Egypt tomorrow in the land. He wanted them to grow into the thing. That's why we are all born, to grow into adulthood.
Amen.
That's why God takes us through this way, that we may come to the perfection. So these people, they heard the word, but it did not profit them because they had no faith. Now, if you don't have faith, you have no hope. If you don't have hope, you are controlled by situations, by happenings, which can really be genuine. Like the brother was saying, it can be a genuine thing. You can put it there and say, now, judge, this is what happened to me. This is what they said about me. This is what they did to me. This is what they planned against me. Now, judge, what could I have done after all this had happened to me? What could I have done after all this was spoken against me? Sure, as the brother said, it is true. But there is something that can make us see through that. It is the hope that God has called us to. That's why we need hope, which can override the situations on the ground. When we look at Israel, because we are just reading about them, I may say so now, we are just reading about them. You know, these people, I don't know what type of people they were. God showed them the signs in Egypt. God made them cross the Red Sea. But why is it that they were always giving problems? The same situations that Israel went through, every one of us is going through. It's not different. Because the scripture here says, as the gospel was preached to them, so was it preached to us. If God gave them that gospel and made them to go the way they went, it's the same way with you and with me.
It may be different when you look at the matter. You know, when I'm back home, I eat, he knows, he said, ugali. Ugali is something that we prepare from maize meal. And of course, maize meal, we get starch from there. So when he takes me to the restaurant, no, he's always wanting me to eat noodles. It's the same stuff as my ugali. Only that now, this is Chinese way. It's made from something else. And he likes it that way. But at the end of the day, we have all taken starch. So it doesn't mean that if I eat ugali, I'm better, and if he eats this, he is better. No, it's the same. So whatever Israel went through, is just what you're going through yourself. It's no different.
Right.
It's only that the name we give to the situations, it's only the name that we give to the problems. It's only the name that we give to the blessings.
Right.
But it's all the same thing.
Right.
God is just leading us the way. Same way. So, if Israel could not make it because of lack of hope, we'll not also make it if we don't have that hope.
Right.
Because it will create in us that hopelessness. It will create in us superstitions. That's when we may now try to go back. But traditionally, you know, we cannot do it this way. You know, we, you know, as Indians, you know, we cannot accept this. You know, we as Africans, you know, we cannot accept this. You know, we as Chinese, we cannot accept this. We go back to something that is not even real.
Right.
But we must have hope. And that hope will make us to hit the target. Because now we are not seeing it clearly. Now we are not seeing things in their clear way. But we shall see them if you only abide in these three.
Amen.
That is faith, hope, and His love. Amen. Now, when situations arise, because now the problem with these people was not the weakness in their minds or the weakness in the body. That has nothing to do with it. Because God never cared about their weaknesses. Okay, for instance, they could not rise up and fight the Egyptians to get themselves out of bondage. They could not do it. They were very weak. But God came in to bring them out. You see? So, they were weak, but God came in. Their very weakness made God to come in.
Right.
When they came to the Red Sea, even if they could swim, they could not swim across.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they had to make, you know, like the soldiers, you know, when they come to a river. I was watching a documentary one time. They can make floating bridges just to cross. Even if they had those engineers to do that, they would not make it in time to avoid the ambushes following them.
Right.
They were very weak. But because that situation did not make them to fail, God came in and gave them the way.
Right.
You see? So, it's not a matter of weakness. It's not a matter of who I am. It's a matter of if I have hope in the gospel unto which I was called.
Amen.
Now, let's look at these people, Israel. In chapter 32 of Exodus. Verse 1 of Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Here are those people now. Moses is gone. And you should know that these people, they knew, Moses had testified to them, that I was on that backside of the mountain. I was there in the backside of the desert, and the angel of God appeared to me in a burning bush, and he told me this message, that I should come to you people and tell you that God has come down to bring you out of bondage. They knew that God had met with Moses. Now, the same God who met with Moses to bring them out of bondage, he has told Moses to come up into the mountain. If God had talked with Moses in the burning bush and it resulted in their coming out of bondage, how much more will this same God bring to them if he is with his prophet for 40 days in the mountain? That means it will be a lot more. Because on one incident with a burning bush, it brought them deliverance. How much more the same God with the same prophet 40 days in the wilderness, in the mountain? They should have anticipated greater things. But what did they do? They say, we don't even know what has happened to you. We don't even know. Why? Because now they were just looking around themselves. The situation surrounding them made them now home. Now what can we do? Aaron, you are the only one whom we can see who is at least a bit religious. More than us. Make us God. And Aaron, where did he go to? He never looked up to heaven and said, now, God, you just come down. He looked at their faces and their bodies. What did he see? He saw earrings, bracelets. Can you see? And he was motivated by what he was seeing then. He said, don't worry. He never told them, now, you say we should make gods. Let us have a day of prayer. Let us all fast and pray that this God whom you want can come down. He looked at what he could see. That was the same problem with Saul. He says, the people have told me. The people put pressure on me. He was overcome by prevailing situations because of lack of faith. He had no hope. So he looked at them. He could see the earrings, the bracelets, and all those things. And then he says, give them to me. He made them a god. Why? Not because they were just weak, but because they lacked faith in the message that they had been given. And they had no hope. Without hope, you can do absurd things. You can do things you never thought you'd do. Amen. And as they were going, they came to this land where the Moabites were, where this prophet Balaam was, this king Balak of the Moabites. When they came there, you know, they looked at those women, those what they were doing, and they were even invited to their feast. They ended up worshipping their gods. And they were taken up in sin. That's why the Bible says, many of them fell in the wilderness. How did they fall? By being overridden by prevailing situations against the hope that they were called to. They lost sight of the hope and wanted to scrutinize the prevailing situation. Can you see? Why did we come out of Egypt? Why did I come out of the world? Why did I come out of all this denominational mess? Why am I here? There's something that God has called me to and for. But there are things that happen now which now take all my attention, and I look at them. And I tell you, as it did with Israel, so will it do with me. It caused them to sin. And the only thing that will happen, it will make you fall into sin. Because if you look at this prevailing situation, you will not see the real thing. You will not have the hope that God has called us to.
Right.
Amen. So they all perished in the wilderness. But as we said, when you look at Abraham, you know how Paul put it in Romans chapter 4. He says when he was called, He believed in him who called those things which are as they are not. He believed in God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Because of his faith, Abraham was taken the same way God takes us. It was not today calling, today he gets the promise. He had to face difficult situations as he was going. And the Bible tells us that he had hope against hope. He believed in hope against hope. He had faith in him who had called him. And there were things that were happening which were very natural, which were very, which had to affect him. For instance, Sarah was barren. It was maybe medically proven that she was barren. She could not have a child. And as if that is not enough, she even went past the age of bearing children, even if she could bear the children. So it was now double. But the Bible tells us, in those situations, in those prevailing situations, Abraham did not lose hope, but he grew in faith.
Amen.
Amen. That's how he overcame. That's how he is called now our father in the faith. It's because he had that faith, and it created a hope in him that God who said it, God will do it. But why am I going through this? Why have I to go through this? That is not for me, because I'm only seeing darkly. I don't have the real, I don't have, the 100% answer to these things. Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it my brother? Or is it the devil? You know, Jesus knew, because he's not like us. When Peter spoke those words to him, "Lord, don't keep on speaking about death. You should not die. You cannot die." He said, "Satan, get thee behind me." He did not touch Peter. He went behind there where Satan was hiding. And he rebuked Satan. But all the people who were hearing, and even us when we read, who said those words? It was Peter. "You should not die." It was Peter speaking. But Jesus puts Peter aside. He attacks the real thing.
Right.
The devil. Sometimes things are said, but it's not us who say them. It's some force or some power behind. Mm-hmm. Only if we can recognize and see that whatever is brought to us, just like the brother was saying, it can be true. But what is the motive behind that? Why are these things being spoken? Amen. The same gospel was preached. Peter preached. They were pricked in the heart, and it brought repentance. Stephen preached. They were pricked also in the heart, and it brought anger. They stoned Stephen for preaching the same gospel. They went and fell before Peter for preaching the same gospel. Can you see? So it all depends. Even if you can say all the good things about me, that doesn't mean that will make me to be a better Christian. It's not what is said about me, of me, what is done to me, but it's what my faith looks to.
Amen.
Because Paul says, "I can even give my body, but it won't profit anything. I can even give my body to be burnt.
Right.
It won't profit anything." So it's not the doings, but it is that hope that we have in Christ. So Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope. Amen. And why and how could God deal so perfectly with Abraham? It was because of the hope that was in him. And God could come down to Abraham and say, don't you worry now. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Almighty. Don't worry. Just walk before me and be perfect. God was so satisfied with Abraham that he says, don't worry about this and that. You just be perfect. And Abraham's hope now was there in that walk. One day, he saw three men coming. And the Lord told him, this time next year, Sarah will have a child. Amen. He had walked. He had stood. He had hope. Not only that, but if you see on the same day that God told him that the child now is going to be born, he just accepted it. He just glorified God in his heart. And then as they were walking, the Bible says, then God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Was God just speaking this to Abraham? Just like the newspaper would publish a story or publish something? But he says, because he is going to lead his household in righteousness. Amen. So that what I promised him will come to pass. So God revealed what he was going to do to Abraham because Abraham had faith so much that even before anything happened, he conducts himself in a way that is conducive to the getting of the promise which was given to him. How we should walk in the same way. And then he says he is going to conduct his household. Even if, when you see how the marriage of Isaac, how he conducted it, you can see what he did even with Ishmael, how he conducted the thing. What he did with those six sons of Keturah. You can see how God could know, now have confidence, can even reveal more things to Abraham because of the faith and the hope that was in him. So, to him, we can say, it got brighter and brighter because of the hope that he had. So, with us also, it will get brighter and brighter if we don't and are not controlled by circumstances and situations that just fall our way. We have been called to a hope that surpasses all other things. Amen. Now, if we are now the children, now, you can see, why God did that with Abraham, he was to bring forth a people who had to be of the same caliber. Because Paul says, not all those who are born of Abraham are the children of Abraham, but those who are according to the promise. You see? As the brother was saying, it's not just because Ishmael had 100% right to say, I am the son of Abraham. I am the firstborn of Abraham. He had every right, and that was true. He was the son of Abraham. But it was not according to the promise.
Amen.
So whatever we do, it has to be according to the word. I'm happy. But why am I happy? Am I happy because of the word of God? Am I happy because this is in line with the purpose of God? And that happiness, where will it take me? Will it take me to my maturity? Will it take me to those heights where God wants me to be? I'm satisfied. But that satisfaction, is it according to the promise? Is it according to the word of God? Because somebody can come to church and say, well, I feel good, I'm happy among the people, the brothers are good, the brothers are, they are all Christians and they are all the sisters, they are fine and good. Yes, you can be happy because of that, But the Bible tells when you come to the Lord, you must repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. What use is it for you to have good brothers and sisters who pat you on the back and give you this and that and everything else, minus the Holy Ghost? Can you see? So you can be very happy, but you are happy for the wrong thing. And you can also be unhappy for the wrong thing also.
Right.
So the children of God are the children by the promise. Whatever you go through, it hinges on the promise. Whatever problems you are going through, they are hinging on the promise. Because we are seeing that clearly. It's not yet in full view. But one thing, we are the children of the promise. That's why even Abraham lived in a tent. Come Isaac in a tent. Come Jacob in a tent. Why? Because they were all of the same. They had a hope. Amen. Praise be to God. So whatever befalls us, whatever comes in our life, whatever befalls us, it is not for our destruction, because we are the children of God. I don't care how many Ishmaels can be born. I don't care how many sons of Keturah can be born. There's one thing for sure. Isaac is the heir of Abraham. They may come. I don't care how Eliezer could be faithful. He was there faithful, everything, until even Abraham himself in his carnal mind, he could say, he's going to be my heir. Because of his faithfulness. Because of his goodness. But that's not according to the promise.
Right.
God never said, I'll give your inheritance to somebody who is very faithful. He says, I'll give your inheritance to your son. And now we are sons. We are not here because we are good. We did not come here because we are faithful. We did not come here because we did this and did that. But because we are the children. Amen. And whatever may come, how many Ishmaels can arise, how many sons of Keturah can be there, how much this or that can be there, that has nothing to do with it. That's why upon that basis, even Isaac himself was prepared to offer himself for a sacrifice. He knew death could not override God's word.
Amen.
But you know, my dad has been telling me since I was a toddler, he was telling me that he once lived in another land there, and God called him to come here, and when God called him, he also told me that Ishmael was born, but Ishmael was chased away because it's not according to God's word. Now, I am here because my dad told me that I am the promise. My dad told me that God told him, you are going to have a son. Now I am the son. Now he's telling me I should be killed. Something has gone wrong with him. Not with Isaac.
Right.
You told me I'm the heir. That settles it. Now the same God who told you I'm the heir, the same God who told you I'm going to be born, the same God who told you that through me there will be children like the stars, he's the same God that told you to give me the sacrifice. Let's go.
Right.
He bared his neck. Go ahead. That's faith. That's hope. He did not start complaining. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what, you know, that's how our life can be built in this way as we worship God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the Bible clearly tells us that nothing can come in our way. You know, David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And he says, because I've seen this, he goes on to say, now my flesh will rest in hope. He was not now afraid of death. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to the green pastures. That's the desire of everybody, to be led of the Lord into all the goodies. He leads me to the still waters. That's everybody's desire. And he says, he lays the table before my enemies. That is my desire, that my enemies cannot come in my way. But God will lay a table. But he goes on to say, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. The same God who lays the table, the same God who leads me, he will be with me.
Amen.
In all situations, my brother and sister, God is God. Then, when death comes, he says, I'm going to rest in hope. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because nothing can stand between me and the word of God. Though I'm seeing dimly, but I shall see face to face the real thing why God called me.
Amen.
So that's what hope does to us. Amen. John puts it like this. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That's what we are. The world, it does not yet, it's not yet clear what we shall be. It's so dismal. It's not clear. But one thing we know, when we shall see him as he is. And because of that hope of his coming, John says, everyone who has this hope in him will cleanse himself.
Mm-hmm.
So what cleanses us? It's not situations around us. It's the hope that we have. What makes us to stand? It's not the good things that surround us. It's the hope that we have. Whatever people can say and do to our lives, that has nothing to do with it. Because our hope is in his coming. And all those who have that hope will cleanse themselves. Will make themselves ready. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what brings boldness in the times of trials. That's what brings us to stand whatever can be said or done against us. It is that. Amen. I want to believe that's why Joseph could overcome. Joseph was not overcome by situations. He was not overcome by happenings in his life. Though his brothers hated him, he did not care about it. He said, the God who called, who showed me, he showed me that I was ruler over them.
Amen.
Right. That settles it. Whatever they do, I'm going to be ruler over them. In that hope, he abided. When the father said, go seek your brothers, he never said, now, you are talking something now. You want me to go and look for my brothers and to bring them things to eat, yet you know God said to me, I'm their ruler. What is happening today can do nothing, cannot disturb the program of God. Joab said to David, now, can you see? Here is your enemy, right there. God has brought him into your hand. Kill him and usurp the throne.
Right.
He says, God told me I'll be king.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to fight to be king. I don't have to make myself king.
Right.
God said I'll be king, I'll be king.
Right.
Let him go. Situations cannot, you know, distract you from the purpose that God called you. They took him to Egypt, they put him in jail. Or even before that, before he was taken to jail, it was this Potiphar, this striptease, who wanted to make him indulge in the wrong things. He says, I did not come here for that. God told me I'm going to be ruler. Not to be subjected to a woman, those things. They took him into prison. Now we are going to make you forsake everything. He says, that has nothing to do with it. Even in there, we're seeing visions and dreams. Can you see? At last, they took him to the place where God told him he would be. And his brothers came. When he revealed himself to them, they said, now, please, please, you know what? We did wrong. Even our father, he told us that when he is dead, don't revenge yourself on us. Said, you people now. It is God who brought me here, not you.
Yes.
But we are the ones who sold you. Not you, it's God who brought me here.
Amen.
Not what the brother said, not what this one said. It's God who made me to be what I am.
Amen.
And the God who called me is the same God who caused you to do what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see? So, if I have that hope in God, come what may. That's why Paul says, I'm not controlled by prevailing situations. Like Peter and other apostles, I can also have a wife. But I don't do that. Though I have the right, though I have the liberty, I can even take all these offerings and things like that. I can do it, but I don't do it. I can even do this and do that, but I don't do it. I'm not overtaken by situations. Whatever happens to me, that's why when he was in prison, he did not say, now he's here now, he's this gospel now, I'm a prisoner. He says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when they were going to kill him, he never said, now my doom has come. He says, my glory has come. My crown has come. They're not going to kill me, but I'm going to be offered as a drink offering.
Amen.
That's hope.
Amen.
You'll never be dismayed by things that happen and come through your life. God has got a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
It depends what you are going to be of use in the hands of God.
Amen.
You see? You know, back home, you know, we've got mines where we mine this iron and things like that. The same iron that makes the wire that I use to tie, or to, you know, when I'm making my things, you know, I use wire to tie. It's the same wire, the same material that is used to make a bicycle. Same material used to make this pillars and, you know, beams in that cement. But you cannot take the wire that I used to tie my things to put there. It cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to get to that, it must go through some strengthening, through some process. So what God is going to use you for, you need to go through some processes. You cannot just complain, why are they doing this to me? What about that wire? It's just, they never put it through this fire. It's what you're going to be used for.
Mm-hmm.
What determines how much pressure, amen, you should be able to hold. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to God.
Praise the Lord.
They were telling me that, you know, this when they use this, you know, this hydro, you know, hydraulics. You know, the power that goes, it goes through a tube. That hydraulic power, it just goes through a tube. This, my bicycle also has got a tube. My car has got a tube. But you know, you can't take a bicycle tube and fit there for hydraulics. It cannot stand. So it depends what God wants you to use you for.
Yes.
Don't complain when God is molding you. It's taking too long. No. He knows what he's going to use you for.
Right.
And he knows what he's going to bring you through so that you can be of use in his hand. Because after all, God is a living God.
Amen.
Whatever he does to us, he does it in life. We've got to live every experience. We've got to live every step that we are taking. And what makes us to keep going, it is that hope we have in God.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe in closing, I'll just read maybe one more scripture. And that is in Galatians chapter 5. I'll read verse 5 and 6. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh in love.
Amen.
Amen. Here now is the conclusion of the whole matter. Paul says there are three that abide.
Amen.
Now we, through the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is life. Can you see? Not by some theory, not by some teaching, but through the Spirit of God. And Spirit of God is life. God has got to bring it through life. You've got to live. You've got to go through whatever. You have to go through life. Amen. And through that Spirit, we are waiting for the hope, amen, of righteousness. And how do we do it? It is through faith in God's word. Why so? Because it's not what is done in the flesh, it's circumcision in the flesh, things that are just done in the flesh. It's not that. But faith, and that faith does not just work as faith. It is faith which worketh by love. What is that love? God is love.
Amen.
In the beginning, God ordained you to be perfect without blame in love.
Mm-hmm.
So, our faith, our hope, all these, they work toward the goal of God, which is love. And by that love, we conquer anything. Because love was love before there was hatred. Love was love before there was darkness. Before there was anything, it was God's love. So we are not changed by things that come bad. But all these things, good or bad, they all work together to bring the absolute, to bring that thing which we are called to, love. And when we think of love, we think of those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where God in his eternal mind predestined us to be children. And it will take us even to the end, where will be the glorious church of God, the New Jerusalem, as we enter into eternity to fulfill that which was in the beginning, also in eternity, the love of God. So it is by this hope that we keep on going. It is through this hope that we stand and we worship the living God. Come what may, we still stand. Come what may, we still go. Because we are not controlled by situations, happenings, sayings, predictions, or whatever the case may be. There's something that is more, which makes us not just to grow in darkness. Though we see darkly, but there is light right there at the end. And because there is that light, it is our hope in God that we should overcome. May God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for everything that He has done for us. And I pray that you are benefited and you are blessed by this simple message. And how true that really is. God has a way of dealing with each and every one of us in every different situation. Here we are in this little fellowship. We are going through ups and downs ever so often. And when I think about it, I also think about Abraham. And his life is never easy. And that's why the more, if you just read about the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis and see how God dealt with him, and I believe you will appreciate that the calling of God for you and me, for us, every one of us, it's not an easy road that we are called to travel on. There's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of potholes and rocks and sharp crevices and things like that that we might, if we're not careful, we'll fall. But the Lord's hand is always there to guide us and keep us. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate for what God has shown us, as the Bible said that the all that was recorded in the Old Testament was for our ammunition. How God dealt with Israel is dealing with us Gentiles in the church as well. You know, and I really thank the Lord for all these years. When I look back, the Lord has dealt with my life, and every one of you here who have been with me all these years, and also the minister whom the Lord has opened up for me to be a part of, and you know, to associate with. And I see the hand of God in the life of all these ministers, Brother James, Brother Nice, and Brother Andrew as well, and Brother Tony, Brother also, and all these other brothers that I know. And, you know, corresponding with them, they call and talk, and I could see that they are going through a hard time as well. But in all things, the Lord has provided everyone's need. And some brothers are been really through a hard time, and I see, especially like Brother Shadrach in India, you know, and he's been going around throughout India now, and people are just calling him, churches, preachers are calling him to come minister to them, and they are all those, not those in the message, but people from denomination who have heard of his ministry, and they want to know more about this present truth that we have. And God is doing a good work in his life, you know, and I'm so glad about that. And in Africa, you know, Brother Tony and Brother James is going to go and visit Brother Tony in Malawi, and so that they could have a convention. There are at least 11 churches that we have already helped build and things like that, and so they are trying to have some meetings. And may the Lord just use Brother James and Brother Tony there. They could spend, I don't know how many weeks that he can go over there and visit all these provinces and in the churches there to, you know, encourage these brothers and sisters there. And remember, they don't have a place to fellowship like we have here. And what we can help do is to build them a little building, you know, which doesn't cost much, because here the Lord has helped us to be a blessing to the people out there. So we just give about $3,000 US dollars so that the brother could buy the material, put their hands to making the bricks, and buy some wood and metal sheets, and at least they could have shelter from the rain, and you know. And of course it is hot, and at night there are mosquitoes in such places, and they don't have flooring like this. It is just probably mud floor, and it's just a wooden benches that they sit. They have nothing to lay back, that you have a chair which you can lean back. They don't help, you know. And so you think about the simplicity that they have, and at times when they have droughts and famine, I mean the flooding, the house are practically destroyed, and they have food, and they hardly have much food to eat as well, but they are very happy, you know. And all they have is because they have the Lord, and happiness is in the Lord. It's not in what we possess. Here in Singapore, we possess a lot. I mean, we have a lot of things because we are an international country. People coming in, you know, economy coming in, communication coming in, transport, everything going crisscross. So we are situated in a place where things come in. And so we have the things that we can buy. But even a Brother James, in the place where he lived, he doesn't have a lot of things that he can see here, you know. So... that's the thing about it. So happiness is not what we possess. Happiness is in the Lord. He's the one that we possess most importantly. Amen. So we're going to collect an offering for Brother James now. And I want to give an announcement that Friday, this coming Friday, we begin our Friday service again. We are going to go back and start over again after that. And I think my throat, I can just handle it with all that's reflux. And we have fellowship start on Friday at 8 o'clock. So we come back from the meetings and fellowship here, prayer, and start some study. And I know the Lord, through whatever trials we go through, as I said, God will always make a way for us. Alright? So don't expect anything easy in our Christian life. Alright, we have a song, and we all stand and sing that song.